That's to be in the right place at the right time. Everything depends on that. Everything. You ever feel a urge from the Holy Spirit to just do something? Do it. Because every time he does that little quickening, that little urgency thing that he does, it's to separate us from one form or another of death. Let's let that soak in a second. Kathy and I drive a lot. We were driving back from California a few months ago, and on I-40, you know, we were passing out west through some real rocky canyons and things, and narrow passageways through these rock things out in Arizona, New Mexico. And the Lord said, speed up for 5 minutes, 5 miles an hour. Just as specific as could be. All right. All right. After about 10 minutes, the Lord said, okay, go back down to the speed limit. Hey, I answer to a higher authority. Anyway, so just as I slowed down, something caught my eye in the rearview mirror. And I looked back, and there was a huge avalanche of boulders bigger than our car. Bigger than our car. That came crashing down off a mountain and covered the far lane, the median, and the lane we were in, and spilled over onto the other side. You'd have been reading about it in the news. Christians would have been saying, Lenny and Kathy went to heaven, but too early. It pays to listen to the Holy Spirit. It pays to get serious about your walk with the Lord. Not morose, but serious. Completely dedicated to your walk with the Lord. And I was thinking of that 91st Psalm a minute ago as I was singing it, Under the Shadow and so forth. A friend of mine, I was raised on a farm up here in Virginia, FFA, the whole nine yards, and he had a lightning strike and his barn burned down, lost some animals. I'm over the next morning and kicking around, you know, and I saw this smoldering clump of straw or hay or rags or something, you know, and I had my boots on, I just gave it a kick, and out from under that smoldering blob came five or six little yellow fuzzballs. Little chickens, little chicks. That was the mother hen. That, you catch that metaphoric thing in the 91st Psalm? Under his wings, he sweeps us in as the firestorm goes by. And I said, that is the 91st Psalm. Wow. Man, God is good. God is good all the time. Oh, that's wonderful. I want you to meet the love of my life. Kathy and I met years ago when I was in show business and she was a model from New York City. I saw her in 17 magazine, all these things, and this just kept getting my eyes. I would see this beautiful girl, and I just thought, not that I go around reading women's magazines, but it was in the barbershop. It was in the unisex barbershop. I got to plead my own case here for a minute. And finally, I had a TV show in Cincinnati, and I was out doing the Tonight Show and all these things, Merv Griffin, Mike Douglas, Steve Allen. Back in the day, you know, things that young singers do. I just finished a pilot for my own CBS network show, and a funny thing happened on the way to hell. I got saved. Amen. Hallelujah. And I saw this girl, Johnny Bench and Pete Rose and I. That was back during the Big Red Machine, Cincinnati Reds days. And the three of us were bachelors. Well, Pete wasn't, but he acted like one. And we'd just go and tear up bars and throw chairs and just be absolutely weird because we were all three well-known people in the Cincinnati area and other places. And we just were out on the town, you know. Anyway, so we're doing this fashion show at this big place, and all these New York models are coming out, you know, and here she comes down the runway. And you know, and I thought, and I wasn't even saved. I was about to speak in tongues, you know, and just, and that's the girl I've been looking at, you know, all these months in these magazines. It just keeps popping up. Now, you know, I can go down that road and tell you why, but the Lord was trying to show me, Kathy, because there was a destiny that he had for both of us, and it was together, even though our flesh and our Hollywood perspective is what was the connectivity there. God was at work anyway. Did you ever know God working in your life when you didn't even give him the time of day? Amen? Anyway, we got to know each other, long story short, and we tried to love each other from the Hollywood perspective, and we dried up like two old sagebrushes out in the desert, you know, and a tumbleweed, pardon me, that's a little better. And finally, it got so bad because I would go out on these network shows and Carson would ask me to come sit on the couch after I sang, and it was just happening. It was just happening. And getting ready to get my own program on CBS Network, and just happening. Big roll of hundreds in my pocket. I'm a farm boy. I grew up in Appalachia. I'm poor. You know, we barely got by. And this is just going to my head. And yet I'd go back and I would sit back sit on the bed after I did the Tonight Show, for instance. And I'll never forget one time. Sitting on the bed and turning the TV on after I got standing ovations on the Carson show. And Peggy Lee was making her final comeback, you know, and she recorded a song called Is That All There Is? A couple of you remember that. Boy, dark, desperate song. Some of you remember it. And I just looked at that TV and I looked at her. I looked at myself in the mirror. I said, why don't I feel better after doing all this super duper stuff, you know? And I knew there was something missing. This is testimony 101 for all of us, you know? And I got home from that foray, and it got worse and worse and worse, and the emptier I got and emptier I got and emptier I got. And I'll never forget sitting on the side of my bed, 24 years old, loaded my L.C. Smith 20-gauge double-barrel shotgun that I used to kill rabbits with, amen, and turned it on myself and put my thumb on the trigger and put the safety off, ready to just take my life into eternity without God, because the emptiness was so raging and so loud and such like a blast furnace. Lost, lost, lost. And I just said, God, help me. I didn't know anything to say. I just said, God, help me. Three words. And this peace exploded in that bedroom. And I thought, oh, it just took my breath away. And I put the gun down like it was a snake. And I said, you're here. You're here. Whew. And I sat down on the bed and I said something profound. And it's a good way to start your day now, all of us. I'm not leaving this bedroom till I hear from you. Good way to start your day. Don't assume anything. Hear from him. Because there is a precise connection of dots that he wants to engage you in. And it's a very, very exciting life. Hallelujah. So I said, Lord, I'm not leaving here till I hear from you. 30 minutes later, I hear a knock on the door. It was Kathy. I hadn't seen her in a couple of months. I came to the back door, and there she was, just beautiful, as always. And she had a little Arthur Blessett psychedelic New Testament in her hands that Arthur had given her. We have stories for 100 years as he came through the television studio and we interviewed him, etc. And, you know, this is all BC for both of us, except she's at my door with tears in her eyes and a little New Testament. I said, Kathy, what's going on? Hi. She said, I found what we've been looking for. And I said, what? She said, Jesus. Jesus. Where'd you find Jesus? She said, at Barney's Hamburger Stand at 1 o'clock this morning. I said, what was Jesus doing at Barney's Hamburger Stand? At curb service, you know. Remember Dr. Shuler, the drive-in, you know. And she said, saving me. And I'm telling you, the Lord has blessed us We've been married 46 years now, and all over the world, and God is so good. And I would like for you to welcome her to the platform at this time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See. Glory to God.
We have two children and six grandchildren, and we're going this afternoon down to Hilton Head to visit our daughter and her family, two grandsons, and then our son lives in Florida and has four children in Melbourne, Florida, and we were just down to see him a couple of weeks ago. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Are you all mic'd up?
I am.
Love you.
Love you.
It's not everyone who has their own mink.
That's right. That's
See, I'm
right.
I'm full of it, but I know it, and I work for it.
Well, praise God. We're so glad to see all of you this morning. How many of you were at the Copeland meeting this weekend? A lot of you. Okay. We have one lady here, Sheila, and her daughter that I had the privilege of taking up in the testimony line for healing school, and she got a new heart.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And her daughter is set free from anxiety that her mother's going to have more problems than not. Hallelujah. And you got a new heart too, didn't you?
On Tuesday. Yes.
On Tuesday. Glory to God.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah. With the Lord, you can just take whatever you need.
Yes.
It's right there. It's already taken care of for you. Mm-hmm. And you just take it. You just reach up and take it. Glory to God. Well, I've been telling Mary and Joey, these are the best people you're going to see. These are the best people you can find.
Amen.
Pastor Robert and the Cagles and the Prices and Brother Howard and Bailey,
yeah.
John's back there,
yeah.
And all of you people. I'll tell you, to find sweet, loving people that are filled with the word of faith, with the word of God. That's a combination that God is looking for. And he can do mighty things with it. And he's just gotten started.
Amen.
Here we are at the radio rally, Word of Faith Radio. That is all over the world.
Yes.
I always talk about it to people and say, everybody that preaches faith is on there. Everybody's on there. And all over the world. We think about that station and we're honored to live near in Tulsa, Brother David Ingalls, Oasis Radio Network. And we are guest hosts for them on their road show when we're home once a month. And our schedule's so wild, it's impossible in the natural we would even be able to do it once a month. And sometimes we do it more. But the Lord does it, just like he brought all of you together. It's phenomenal. What I love about faith is faith will take everything that belongs to you and not ask anybody anything.
Yeah, come on.
Amen.
Nobody can block your faith. You are the only person that can limit God with you. And I know you're not going to do that. Now, I am going to talk a little bit about our product to let you know about our life-giving things that are out there. I wanted to say something about radio. You know, we have the privilege, the honor of being on both radio, on Word of Faith Radio, and Brother Ingalls, and television, TCT, and what's our other one?
Speakfaith.tv.
And with all of these things happening with Roku and Amazon Fire and all of these things, you know, everybody's going to be able to tune in.
Yep.
But you can't watch television while you're driving, while you're working. And so radio has a power that television doesn't have.
Right.
We love television and YouTube and all that, but it's a visual thing as well as hearing. But radio is all hearing. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I believe the Lord's going to increase the radio outreach and the stations and all of it just beyond what you even saw at the beginning, Brother Cagle. Yes. And everybody has a part. Isn't it awesome? And when we get to heaven after we're 120 or the rapture takes place,
Amen.
We're gonna just be laying back on, maybe it'll be a cloud. I'd kind of like to have a cloud, my own cloud. And hearing and rejoicing over the stories that we never knew. The stories of people that were saved, were healed, were delivered, their whole family saved. I mean, I've met people that were horrible wife beaters and abusers of their children that got delivered, saved and delivered, and they're the sweetest people you could ever find on the earth. It's hard to believe they ever had any trouble like that. The Lord just wipes it out. Well, Lynn sang a couple of songs from this one. That's one of my favorite of his CDs called Let It Rain. And he didn't sing this morning, but Healing Rain. Oh, it's just so anointed and wonderful for healing. And I want to plant some seed in all you wonderful people. So I want to give these away. So I want to give this Let It Rain to somebody. And I see a smile on your face. So, Joey, would you help me? That beautiful lady there, just put your hand up for him. You know, faith takes, I mean, you've got to indicate when you want to take something. And then this one is a double teaching as far as Len and I are both teaching on this on radio. And it's called Living Long and Living Strong. Genesis 6 says we were given 120 years. And that was a reduction. If you read the chapter before, they all lived 300, 800, 900 years. And they even had kids when they were that old. And so the Lord, because of sin, I think, was kind of fed up with man. It was right before the Noah's Ark and all of that. And he just reduced it and said the years of man will be 120. So why would we accept any less than that? We're not going to.
Nope.
We're not going to. And my precious mother was raised in a church that always took that scripture from Psalm 90. This isn't my teaching, but I just have to say that. How many preachers have talked about Psalm 90 says that we have 70 or 80 years. Well, that was to the disobedient Jews in the wilderness. He was tired of them wandering around. That wasn't for the church. That wasn't for us. But if you get that in your heart, if you've heard that all your life and you don't repent for believing that and get rid of it, it will try to control you. And my sweet mama, she had some congestive heart failure, and we got her on Brother Hagin and Brother Copeland, and we had scriptures up all around her room and her wall. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. And she was grabbing onto that, but she had heard all her life she only had 70, maybe 80 years. And we were trying to get her out of that. And she was in the hospital, and she was talking about healing, grabbing healing, and she turned 70. She had a birthday. She went to be with the Lord. Why? Because the doctor, who was the renowned heart specialist in Cincinnati at the University of Cincinnati, told me later, wish he'd have told her, told me later, I don't know how that woman's lived for the last 3 years. It's beyond what I've ever seen medically. The healing was working.
Yep.
But she had that ingrained in here that she only had 70 years. So you just say, I reject that. One, I repent for believing that. And just join Club 120.
Amen.
That's what we call it. Join Club 120. I'm going to give that to you, Brother Howard. You know all that. You know more than I do, but it'll just keep you around. Thank you. Thank you, because we all need you. And that's what Brother Copeland says. It's the devil's plan to try to steal people that are just finally knowing something and seasoned, trying to steal them from the earth to block the revelation from the rest of us that the Lord has for them to give us. And then this is one of my teachers called Not to Me, You Don't. Now, who do you think I'm talking to on this teaching? I'm talking to the devil. And when he tries to put anything...
Carol said me.
That's a good one, Harold.
It's prophetic. Word of knowledge.
Good one, good one, good one. But, you know, once I found out about the authority of the believer... I wasn't going to let anything come on me. And so at the first, and Sheila, I want you to remember this. I'm going to give this to you. At the first symptom, pain, whatever, you speak out and say, not to me, you don't. Get off of me in Jesus' name. So this is only about 20 minutes long. And a lady always came up to me in the Washington, D.C. Copeland meeting and say, this is only 20 minutes long, almost like she didn't get her money's worth. And I said, well, how long does it take you to get the devil under your feet? It really shouldn't even take 20 minutes. So, Joey, would you give that to Sheila back there and her daughter? And then who was I going to? I was going to give this to Dr. Price. Yeah. Okay, thank you. And then this is a collection of my teachings. There's seven in there, and they're all different subjects. And it really hits a lot of areas. Supernatural rest, send your angels, faith takes, count it all joy, the hundredfold, healing, you can always get it for yourself, and be free from rejection and generational curses. I mean, you're free when you finish this. Come on, get it. You're so sweet. Okay, that's for you. We have more out there. Now listen, I want to tell you something. We're going on vacation that we don't do very much tonight. Tonight we'll be on vacation in Hilton Head. And the Lord has blessed us free with the most beautiful house to stay in on the beach. He's given it to us free. And if we have all our product out there, and we really don't want to drag much of that to Hilton Head. So I want you to get it. I want you to get it to give to people. And if you don't have the money today to get what you'd like to get, I mean several things, then I want you to just take it. I want you to just take it. Now, if you need something and you have a friend that needs something and you don't take it, I won't be pleased and the Lord won't be pleased. So don't please know how to receive. You can't give if people won't receive. So sometimes I try to give somebody something and I know their word of faith and they say, oh, no, I couldn't take it. I said, are you word of faith? We got to give and receive. Now, these two are so special, these musical projects, we call them. This is probably the biggest seller still at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Now, I hear just a little ring. I don't know what it is. A little bit ring or echo in there. Maybe
the monitors need to be shut off.
Yeah, maybe the monitors need to go off. But this is called Healing Praise. And maybe some of you have it. I hope you do. But This is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland reading healing scriptures that Len and I picked out, and we finally got them in the studio years back to record them. And then Len singing songs about healing in between. And it was only made, we prayed for the healing anointing to especially come on it, and they didn't use any normal singers that they might pay to be background singers like we do. They gathered up people from the Copeland ministry that could sing, that worked there as employees. And they were the background singers because we wanted to keep it pure, people that believed what they were singing and saying. And so there is such a healing anointing on this that there have been thousands of people that have received their manifestation playing this. I had a mother tell me recently that since this has been out, see, for years. Since the day her baby was born, she's played it softly in the child's room all night long, every night. And I think he was a teenager now, and he's never been sick. He's never been sick. Preventative. So I want to give someone that. And then we have the same format for peace. This is peaceful praise. And this is Kenneth and Gloria reading scriptures on peace and Lynn singing songs on peace in between. A lot of people that have had insomnia or difficulty sleeping have played this at night, and they've conquered that, and they sleep really well now. And then I always love the way the Lord, He'll decide what He'll use. You don't decide what He'll use for somebody. Don't try to get it in your mind. Well, you know, this is not rocky, so we don't want to give this to a younger, wild person that likes rock music. You don't know that. I had a gentleman come up to me that was the wildest looking thing I ever saw. And he said that he was a drug addict, and listening to peaceful praise, he was delivered. Glory to God. So, if you'd smile at me, sister, I'll give these to you. I'm talking you in the zebra dress. Yeah. Joey, give these to her. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But there's more out there.
Mm-hmm. There's a healing praise. We play all those different songs on the healing station.
You know, I was hoping you did. Praise God. Praise God. If it's worn out, you need a new one. They're out there. Just take one. Father, we thank You for everyone that's here. We ask You to deeply, deeply put things within us that are straight from the throne of God, that exalt Your dear Son, Jesus, and that He, as the living Word, would come through my lips, and Your Word would change things in us and would give us the revelation that we need to live a life of victory. And we thank You for it so much. We give You all the praise and all the glory. Amen. Just within the last several weeks, the Lord's given me a deeper revelation about anointing. You know, within us is the Holy Spirit, which is the anointing. And so the Lord said to me, the anointing within my people, the anointing within you, will put you over in every single area.
Yes.
Every day, little things, big things, the anointing in you will totally put you over. We know we have favor, and we thank the Lord for that, and I like to declare it, just extravagant favor. Amazing favor. One church out in California, the pastor had been preaching on crazy favor. And I thought, well, I don't know if I like that word crazy. And I thought, no, that's good, because it's crazy to the world. It's crazy to the natural mind. That's fine. Crazy favor. And I could tell you stories on favor. But the anointing It's combined with favor, but it's a little different. It's just a little different. It's bigger, actually. It's bigger. It will put you over. It will draw the things to you that you need and desire. It will bring the people to you that you need and desire. And here we had testimony of that this morning with all of these wonderful people right here coming together. But if you will trust it and you will think about that revelation, I have the anointing in me and it puts me over. And you can come up against somebody saying, impossible, can't be, no, 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 that's not going to work. But don't accept that. Just step back and think about the revelation. The anointing is going to put me over. And I know my friends get tired of hearing me say this, but I don't believe a word anybody says. If it blocks something that I'm believing for that God has said, I really don't. And it's taken me a while to get there. But I just don't believe a word anybody says unless it agrees with the Word of God. I'm not fazed by it. And people will say, well, you know, I'll tell one of the kids to take care of this or something. And they'll say, well, they said we couldn't do that. And I'm thinking, what does that have to do with anything? Why would you let that stop you? So we have to come into this revelation that we have the anointing in us and nobody can stop us. If you have the Word behind you, if it's something the Lord's told you to do, nobody can stop you. I don't care if they're the president of the corporation or whatever. And this goes from little things to big. You know, you'll go to a store, and this happened to me so many times, and you really need a certain thing. And they'll say, well, we're out of that. I don't believe that because the anointing's drawing it to me. Amen. And so I say, well, why don't you look again? And they come out with it. Well, we didn't know we had one in the back. The Lord knows. And one of the things, and I don't think I've ever shared this with a group before, but this is a very special group. I'm serious. You people are important. I am very serious. The Lord's shown me that. You are important, and you have big things to do. You've done a lot, but you've got a lot bigger things to do, all of you that are here this morning. So we had a thing where years back when, this is one of the first times I learned it, years back when they had the Concorde running. It's funny because we're in Concorde, you know. But remember the airplane, the Concorde, that would get you to Europe in like how many hours, Lynn? Four or six?
I was on it 3 hours and 17 minutes.
Yeah, fast. And so Lynn had accumulated so many air miles where you can get a free ticket, you know, flying back and forth from Cincinnati to Fort Worth doing things with Brother Copeland for radio and television, that he had so many that he found out that he could get two free tickets on the Concorde. And so he invited our pastor at that time. There's perks for being pastors. Yeah. You got a lot coming to you, Brother Jakes.
Amen.
And so, oh, the pastor was so thrilled. Brother Jim Crabb was our pastor at that time, wonderful man. And he told his daddy, you know, who never was really as excited about him being a pastor, I'm going to Europe on the Concorde. I'm going with Len Mink. And so we got the two tickets on the Concorde. The secretary and I got them. Going to be on American Airlines, and British Airlines was tied in with it. Owned the Concorde, I think. And so we did it like 3 months ahead, and about a month before, we thought, well, let's just double confirm them. And so Len was out, and I was home with the kids and the secretary. And they say, no, you don't have them on that day. They're on another day. Well, they had all these meetings set up. They couldn't go on another day. They had to go that day. So we said, no, we have favor. We have them on that day. We just kept declaring it, kept declaring. We have those tickets. Nobody can take them away. And we just kept calling the airlines. We get a different person. No, you don't have them on that day. You're on this day. Sorry, there's nothing we can do. Nothing we can do. So we just kept calling. We'd get different people. They'd write us up in the computer. You know, they have to record your conversations. They have to make notes. So we got to about the 25th call. And you can't quit. How much does it mean to you? The Lord's behind you. The anointing's in you. He said you could have what you say. The anointing will put you over. He said you have crazy favor. So about the 25th call, they connect us with a lady in New York with British Airways. And we tell her the dates and everything. And she goes, yeah, they're right here. You've got them. We got in the car. We rushed downtown to Cincinnati. That's when you went and got your ticket, you know, in hand. And we said, give us those tickets right now. We were going to let them change it or something. And so the guy looked in the computer, and he just kept looking, kept looking. He saw all the times we called, kept looking, kept looking. I said, don't worry about any of that. Just give us the tickets. And we got those tickets. And Mary said she had promised me that when we got them in her hand, she would run the church. So that Sunday morning, I'm waiting. She ran that church with those tickets. We never told Lynn. We didn't want him to be concerned about it. But that's just one of the many. One of the many. If you just won't give it up. You're a child of the King. You can't be stopped. The anointing will put you over in every situation. You have the advantage because it's smeared inside and out all over you. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, which means human ability in that scripture. Not by might nor by human ability, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Why doesn't it just say the Lord? Because it wanted to remind us that work Lord head of a whole army of angels and hosts that are working for you. Now, I am looking for this scripture. You are not a victim. See, Sheila, you're not a victim anymore of a diagnosis of an artery as thin as a thread. I'm telling you, some of these medical things, the way they put things, if the devil brings the worst words possible to try to bring fear on you. Right. Thin as a thread. And Brother Copeland, remember he said somebody was told by the doctor they were aggressively dying. Now that's just nuts. Yes. Aggressively dying. Dying would have been enough, but they had to say aggressively. So we just need to say, shut up, devil. Shut up. No, I'm not. I don't know why I keep thinking of dancing this morning. Times that... Huh?
You're right.
I might. But, you know, our son, we have two children. Our son took a little detour for a while. Raised in the Copeland meetings, raised in the Hagen meetings, decided he'd try marijuana and went off on drugs and a mess for a while. In fact, we'd be traveling. And Lynn would sing that song. We'd be ministering, and, you know, that would be grieving my heart. And Lynn would sing what he did this morning, Trading My Sorrows. And I'd stand up and sing that song and get it off of me and cast it on the Lord. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I'm trading my shame. Yes. And I learned how to count it all joy. Ha, ha. Ha, and laugh at the devil. And James 1 says, if you'll laugh You'll be left perfect and entire. That means mature and complete, wanting nothing. What does that mean? You got what you wanted. You got your faith result. Amen. So it really is a high level of faith to laugh at the circumstances, especially with your children or spouse, when they start going the devil's way. We can't be moved. We have to laugh and count it joy, because our faith is out there for them to have the mind of Christ and be on fire for God. And that's what we said over and over again. He's has the mind of Christ, and he's on fire for God. And he's come a long way. He's come a long way. Glory to God, because the word always works. Hallelujah. There's a translation in the Message Bible that I want to read of Isaiah 54, 11 through 17. Now, this is the passage where at the end it says, no weapon formed against me can prosper or will prosper. But I'd never read it till recently in the Message translation. And I just love it, because it also is the place where it says that the Lord made Satan and all of that. Well, we know he created everything, created Lucifer, who has to have been the dumbest person and angel that's ever been. But I like the way the Lord dealt with him. He didn't just pat him on the head and say, now you're getting into unbelief. Now just come on now. We're going to try to help you do better. He just cast him out. He just cast him out. So you're blessed if you have a sweet pastor like Robert, but if you don't heed, he might just have to cast you out too. Right, Robert? Lynn says it's a good thing I'm not a pastor. I don't know why he says that. But anyway, Isaiah 54, 11 through 17. Now stay with me on this till we get to the end. Afflicted city, storm-battered, unpitied, I'm about to rebuild you with stones of turquoise. Lay your foundations with sapphires. The Lord likes jewels and treasures. Construct your towers with rubies, your gates with jewels, and all your walls and precious stones. All of your children will have God for their teacher.
Wow, yes.
What a mentor for your child. You'll be built solid, grounded in righteousness, far from any trouble, nothing to fear, far from terror. It won't even come close. Now listen to this next part. You take this if something's coming against you. If anyone attacks you, don't for a moment suppose that I sent them. Any should attack, nothing will come of it. If any should attack, nothing will come of it. So you already have God's word on it. Something's attacking you, whether it be sickness, whether it be grief, frustration, lack. Lord says nothing's going to come of it. I create the blacksmith who fires up his forge and makes a weapon designed to kill. I also created the destroyer. But now here's the key. But no weapon can hurt you. No weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged.
Praise God.
Yes, Lord.
Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. This is what God's servants can expect. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I think we ought to put it on our walls. Anyway, I forgot to say about my dancing. And then I'm going to talk about the hundredfold and how wealthy the Lord wants you to be before we finish this morning. God's ways are usually the opposite of the natural thinking. And so during the time when Lenny was off acting like the devil himself, we had an insurance change or something. So we had to get, you know, the basic medical stuff for the insurance company to insure us. And so when Lenny started acting like that, I'd never had high blood pressure in my life. My blood pressure went up. So when I went to get the insurance exam in Tulsa there, the lady said she took it twice and it was too high for them to take it, you know, insurance. She goes, I'm legally only allowed to take it one more time. I said, okay. She said, why don't you just lay down on this gurney? I'm going to turn the lights out. And we'll just think it may go down a little bit, and I'm going to leave you in here. Well, that is the way that you'd think in the natural, but I just felt quickened by God that as soon as she shut the door, I jumped off the gurney and I danced as hard as I could dance. And I said, thank you, Lord, my blood pressure's normal. Dancing, dancing, dancing in praise. And then I got back on the gurney just as she opened the door because I didn't want to explain it to her. So she took it again. And it was fine. Hallelujah. And then I read that, you know, Smith Wigglesworth, he used to dance every morning when he got out of bed. How many knew that? Okay. When his feet hit the floor, he would proceed to dance and praise the Lord. And only Lester Summerall tells that in one of his books. And it said, in parentheses, high-speed dancing. That's what I did that day. And so when I was going to Rhema Bible Training School in 1997, Len and I had been in the ministry for so many years. He'd sung with Brother Hagin. We had the joy of knowing Brother Hagin. But when we moved to Tulsa, Len said I could go to Rhema and stay home. Well, that always had been my dream, to go to Rhema. Ever since Brother Hagin told us one day when Len was singing with him in a meeting, I'm going to start a Bible school. And I said, we're going to be the first students. But, you know, you couldn't be gone on a Friday, a Monday. Len, we were out in the ministry, so we didn't get to go. But I got to go finally. And so I decided, that's when I found out about Wigglesworth dancing every morning in praise. So I thought I'd do it. And so every morning I would get up to go to Bible school, and I would, the minute my feet hit the floor, I would start dancing and praising God. And I'd dance all the way to the bathroom to get dressed. And if Len was home, he would be rolling laughing in the bed. He'd be in the bed laughing and laughing. So it brings joy to people, too. So it made him stronger. But because I'm talking about the anointing putting you over, I got to tell you what happened. And I'm going to start it again when we're in Hilton Head. Look out, Marianne. I know she'll do it with me. Okay. About the third, fourth day, I'd be sitting in class, in Tony Cook's class is when it first hit in Rhema. And the presence of God would overtake me. I'm just sitting in my class listening. And I would almost slide out of my chair. I could hardly stay in the chair. But I didn't want to cause a scene or anything. So I just hold on. And some of the kids that sat next to me, they felt it. They said, what's going on? And so I told them what I was doing. Of course, they started doing it too, of course, you know. And so about four or five of them would do it. They'd start praising and dancing. And we'd be sitting there in class, and it would just cover our whole row. And we never told them. We never told the teachers anything, but we just hold on. and we just be enveloped in the presence of God. So I guess the Lord likes it, because he said, praise him with your whole body.
Yes.
Glory to God. I guess somebody needs to do that. But we're in a time when not only is there divine health for everyone and long life, but there's divine wealth. There's prosperity. And ever since we've been a traveling ministry for 40 years, every church we go to, people need money. People don't have enough money. They all need more money. And then I think about the Lord watching all these Hollywood people and all these people that aren't honoring him and aren't serving him with all this money and using it for evil, too. You think about the sex traffickers. You think about the drug traffickers. You think about all the evil that goes on. And they have millions and billions of dollars flowing in and out. I don't think that's pleasing to our God. And so he told us in Scripture about something called the end-time wealth transfer. It's a transfer of money, prosperity, from the evil, the wicked, to the righteous. And that's you. If you're born again, you're washed by the blood, you're the righteous. And so I've been studying that. And I started teaching a lot about it. And in Pittsburgh, about 2 years ago, we were getting ready for Sunday morning service. And the Lord said to me, preach prosperity, preach prosperity, preach prosperity. And I said, but Lord, I am preaching prosperity. Probably too strong for some people. Not that I care. And you know how the Lord does. He doesn't explain. So he didn't explain. He just said it again. Preach prosperity, preach prosperity, preach prosperity. So that's what I do a lot. Now, I think our goal, and I think Brother Copeland even mentioned the scripture once this meeting, our goal should be 2 Corinthians 9:8. And I like it in the NIV. And it says this, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. So he wants to transfer wealth to us so we can bless others and we can fund the end time harvest of souls, which has begun. It has begun.
Oh yeah.
And it takes money. It took money to have that Copeland meeting down there. It took lots of money. And Brother Copeland is one of the ones that's strong enough in faith and bold enough to do it and not be worried about, is the budget going to be covered? It always is. It always is, because his faith is out there for it and he's saying it. We're all agreeing. But the Lord wants you out of financial stress. He wants your bills paid. He wants your debts canceled. And he wants you to have lots of surplus to bless others. And there's nothing as much fun as blessing others. And that's how we get harvest in that area. We plant financial seeds. Psalm 105:37 says, he brought them forth. This is the nation of Israel when they were slaves in Egypt. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among their tribe. Yes. These were slaves, total slaves that the Egyptians cared nothing about. What happened? Moses kept on Pharaoh until the fear of God came on the Egyptians. And I believe the fear of God is coming on people today.
Oh, yes.
It's coming just like we saw here. And there's going to be results from it that are going to bless the kingdom of God, bless you. So here he brings out these slaves just like that. Not only with divine health, nobody needing healing, and strength. But the Egyptians just said, here, take our silver, take our gold, take our money, take our food and clothes, get out. You might go in someplace before the end of the year. And they say, we don't even know why we're doing this. And they write you a big check and say, just take it.
Amen.
Just take it and go. Don't let grass grow under your feet. Grab it and run. But this was one of the greatest wealth transfers, and we see it in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, and it's just stellar. Debt cancellation, wealth transfer, and divine health. So the Lord's saying to you and to me, come all the way out like I brought them. Don't be satisfied to be born again, even though that's the greatest thing of all. But don't be saved but sick, saved but broke, saved but in debt, because he has all of that for you. And there's something that we have forgotten about that we saw in the Old Testament and the New. But every time there was a battle, every time Israel was in a battle and they won, they got what they called spoil. They got treasure. They got wealth. And so whenever you've been attacked by the devil in any area, the Lord's already given you the victory. And when you keep saying the word and it manifests, don't forget your spoil.
Amen.
You don't have to know where it's going to come from. You don't have to figure out with your mind. But wait a minute, devil, take your hands off my spoil.
Yes.
There's spoil that's supposed to come to us after every battle. So let's take it. Say, I take it.
I take the spoil.
I take the prosperity.
From every battle I've ever had.
I take it now.
And I'm not
going to
leave it behind.
Thank you, Lord. See, we've taken our harvest. We did at the meeting. But we have spoil for winning the battles as well. That's something different. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. Now, of course, it starts with the tithe. You've got to be a tither. When we go to a store and we're looking for a sale, do you get excited when it says 10% off? I don't. It's too little. I'm looking for 50%, 60%, 70%, then we'll get excited. Well, the tithe is only 10%. It's so small that it's almost pitiful not to tithe, because the tithe qualifies you for the devil to be rebuked. He says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake if you're a tither. You don't want to miss out on the tithing benefits. That's just the bottom rung. And then you go on to plant seeds and wealth transfer and debt cancellation. This is all supernatural.
Amen.
Mark Barclay always tells, and I'll tell it in case you didn't know it, because this is quite something. They were having to get together up there in Michigan, and he's got a big family, and one of the grandchildren, they had a swimming pool. One of the grandchildren got her hair caught in the drain down at the bottom, and nobody saw it for a while, and she drowned. And they finally saw it, jumped in the pool. Her dad grabbed her hair out of there, got her up. She wasn't breathing. The life squad was coming. And that dad yelled out, I'm a tither! I claim my tithing rights. And that little girl sat up. And she lived. Now that's how important the tithe is. But now Charles Capp stood up at the Copeland Ministers Conference years back, and he prophesied And he said that in the end time, which we're in, that many things would happen, but that there would be the wealth transfer. And he said it would come in two ways. I'm sure the Lord has more, but these are the main two ways. One, it would come by the wicked people that were rich getting saved and bringing their money into the kingdom to use it for God's purposes. And, of course, that's what we pick. That's what we want. But then the second way, he said if they didn't, this was all in the prophecy, that their money would drain away and drain out and come to the righteous. Then he said the second thing is that the church must believe for the hundredfold return. And that would be the second way that the church would increase in these days and can do finish up God's purposes. So we have it in the Old and the New Testament. Genesis 26:12, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year, this was during a famine, 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. When it says the Lord blessed him, it means he grew even richer. And this was amid persecution. He'd dig another well, they'd put dirt in it. But he kept going. Don't let go of your faith. Then in Mark 10:29-30, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there is no man.
No man.
There is no man or woman that have left house or family or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. And we know it comes with persecution, but we don't care. Because if the Lord could be crucified for you and me, how could a little disapproval bother us? We got to get tough. We got to be tougher. We got to wake up. Let's not be sensitive. Pastor in Illinois... Let me give you a few quick illustrations here, and then I want to pray for you. Pastor in Illinois, we were at his church several years back, and he went to Rhema, but he just had never grasped what he did. At lunch, he said to us, and he wasn't being argumentative, he was very sincere, he said, I just don't get the 100-fold return. He said, I've never experienced it, I don't understand it, and as only the Lord can do. I said, dear pastor, you just participated in it. That morning, they had taken the offering for the church before we spoke, and I only had a $10 bill in my purse. I didn't have my checkbook, anything. So I put that $10 bill in his offering. And so we sat at lunch, and he handed us our offering, and I opened it up, and it was $1,000. It was exactly 100-fold return on what I had put in his offering. And you know what? He saw it. And he went for it. And after that, he built a thing on his church. And debt-free. Oh, it was just wonderful. Yeah. Now, here's another example. And this is how important it is not to block it with your own mouth. Yeah. Please don't. You know how the kids would go zip it when you tell them to and lock it with a key and throw the key away? We need to do that more. On one of my birthdays, on my way to 120 or more, there were a few people over at the house, and there was a man that was a Baptist man, and we didn't even know him really well, but of course I knew he didn't have the teaching we've had on Word of Faith. But he was very sweet, and he helped my son in his business, and so I opened up a card from him, and he had put $200 in it. And I thought, I really appreciated that. I said, well, Paul, God bless you. Thank you. Now give me your hand. And I said, if I pray something for you, will you agree with me and then not say anything else about it? And he said, yes. So I took his hand and I asked the Lord to give him a 100-fold harvest on that $200. And I said, Paul, do you agree? And he said, yes. I said, let's thank the Lord. So we thanked the Lord. And he didn't say anything else about it until about 2 weeks later, he called and said, this is really something. I thought I owed the IRS money, but I just got a check from them for $12,000. I said, well, Paul, that's wonderful, but that's not all of it. Let's stop stopping short. Let's take 100 times. And I know there's debate on what that, if it means even more than that, that's great. But let's just at least take 100 times our seed. So I said, now, Paul, that's 12,000, but your 100-fold is 200,000. 20,000. I was really going wild. Oral found the 1,000-fold. Yeah, 111. You can go for that if you want. So 20,000 is the 100-fold. You got 12. So don't say anything else except thank you, Lord. He said, okay. He was a real obedient man. He was kind of quiet on the quiet side. And see, that can be to your benefit. So another month passed, and I forget what this was from, but he got 8,000 more. He got 8,000 more, and he never forgot that. Now, my favorite one, my friend Marianne that's with us. I tell you. We went to lunch one day in Tulsa, and we got out of the car. We'd been praying for people on the way there. That's not what caused it, because it's not our righteousness. It's the Lord's in His Word. But we got out of the car. We started walking like to the back of the sound booth there to the restaurant. And a homeless-looking man came up to us and said, could you give me some lunch money? Said, I have a job, but I don't get paid yet. And he was kind of rough-looking. You don't know who's telling the truth or not. But you don't have to know. You don't have to question them. You don't have to know anything. Just listen to the Lord in you. And the anointing will lead you and put you over. And so I felt like we should give him something. So I reached in my purse, got a $20 bill down here in my hand. My hand was still in my purse. And the Lord says to me, give him a $100 bill. Harold, but oh. Harold, he might say that to you. So I pulled out the 100. I heard the Lord say it. I pulled out the 100 and I gave it to him. And we just walked on. And I feel this hand on my shoulder. And I said, I just want you to know none of it scared us, because Mary Ann and I aren't afraid of anything. Right, girl?
That's right.
We have no fear. You don't have to have any fear.
That's right.
You are a conqueror of everything.
Yes. Yes.
Everything the devil can come up with, or some evil person who's led by the devil, you've already been given the winning thing, ticket. He's already conquered it for you. So I felt the hand on my shoulder. I turned around. He said, wait a minute, can I pray for you? I said, sure. You know what he prayed? He prayed I'd get the 100-fold return. We about fell over. I said, you know about the 100-fold return? He goes, yeah, I go to church. So we just went on in. And about 4 days later, I got a check in the mail for $10,000. And it was from a women's conference. They were going to send me the offering.
Wow.
And there were about not even this many women there.
Wow.
And I spoke once. The Lord likes to surprise us.
You were worthy.
Thank you. I just love this man. You got a winner there. So sweet. So let's press for these things. I think it makes the Lord pleased with us when we press for these things and we don't give up, we don't get off our faith. It has to move out of our way. It has to come, the truth of the word. We've got to resist what tries to stop us and discourage us and insist on the word of God. So we're in this time now of end time wealth transfer and supernatural debt cancellation.
Yes.
That means you're not trying to figure out how to do it. It's supernatural. But you got to be sensitive in here, because he's going to lead you to the place where something's going to happen supernaturally. I mean, he led me to speak at that ladies' retreat. And look what happened. He led me to give the money to the man. So whatever, we're in the time, the slightest thing he leads you to do, do it. Somebody said, well, how do I know it's him? If it doesn't steal, kill, or destroy something, it's him.
That's right.
It's not the devil, it's him. And somebody said, well, maybe I just thought it up. If it was something good to do, go do it and take the harvest.
Yep.
It's him.
Yeah.
Verity, or in this packet out here we put together, we have a healing confession packet, and we have for the little ones little gospel duck confessions. Like, my little grandsons just pour over these. Like, it says, I have favor with God and everyone. Now, think what they go through these days at school and everywhere. This one says, Jesus, thank you for taking away my hurts and disappointments. And then on the back, the scripture, Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So, I want to give these. Joey, help me. I want to give these to some. Just let you give those to whoever you want. Now, what I want to do is I want to lay hands on anybody that wants it for supernatural debt cancellation and the wealth transfer and increase in prosperity. There's not just a healing anointing to transfer to people. There is prosperity. There are anointings and impartations for prosperity. And if you believe and take it, your finances can shoot up. And I want Len and I to lay hands on you for that right now. So everybody stand.